95.9 WATD, the 7 Stories Morning News. Rob Hackla and Beth Foster. It's time now for our Paws and Claws segment. We focus on the pet and animal world every week at this time. Proudly sponsored by our good friends at The Clean Team. We thank them so much. The Clean Team provides carpet cleaning, upholstery cleaning, tile and grout cleaning. They also clean Oriental rugs and area rugs in their facility in Kingston. Learn more at thecleanteam.net, thecleanteam.net. And on the second Tuesday of the month, we check in with our great friends at Cape Cod Veterinary Specialists, dealing with exotic pets. Dr. Kira Berg, Lorelei DeVolio, joining us now. They are both on the line, Beth, to answer your questions. 781-837-4900, 781-837-4900. Text in Dr. Kira Berg, Lorelei DeVolio. Kira and Lorelei, good morning.
Good morning.
Wow, good morning. So glad to have you guys both on the program.
I know. This is great. All right. Yeah. So we appreciate that, and thank you for being open to answering some questions. We wanted to put the word out. And Beth, I think we did get one from Ann, I believe, was checking in, right?
Yeah, actually, this is my friend Ann from Quincy. She got a bearded dragon about a couple of months ago, and, you know, she has never had a bearded dragon before, so she did have some general overview questions about specific things, if I can throw them at you.
Yeah, we're ready for it.
Okay, great. She said, what exactly is tail rot? Is there a way to treat it earlier on at home?
So we can't give medical advice for animals we haven't seen, but tail rot is typically a disease of poor perfusion to the tail. Mm-hmm. And so it is generally a concern that there's something at home that is causing that. And typically I don't recommend it being treated at home because there are things that need to be changed in the environment. So if there's any condition that's concerning, like tail rot, I would always recommend bringing that animal in. Tail rot or anything else going on, I would always recommend bringing that beardie or any other animal in for evaluation.
Oh, okay, great. Okay, then would you give a bearded dragon a bath? And then would you do that when they are shedding too?
Well, that's a great question because we love soaking our reptiles. So the answer is yes. They are desert species. So sometimes people are like a little bit like, why would I give my desert species animal a bath? But the answer is in captivity, they do need ways to get hydration, and giving them a warm soak is fantastic to get them both hydrated, and it's great for their skin to help with shedding, help with them going to the bathroom normally. So we recommend bathing healthy reptiles upwards of every other day or even every day.
Oh, wow. Cool. And just like a nice warm, you know, do they have to use distilled water or is tap fine?
No. We usually say just like, you know, warm to the touch, like if you were going to take a nice warm bath, a couple of inches deep, obviously not so deep. They're not swimming, just soaking. we like to put them in like a little Tupperware container where they can just rest and relax. And over time, they actually tend to really enjoy it. And it can just be tap water. Yep.
Oh.
The other thing I would add, too, is that the Tupperware should be specifically for your reptile. Do not wash it and use human food after. So it's definitely only for them. Mm-hmm. And the other reason why we do that is, in addition to them getting water, the reason why we want them to be well hydrated is because kidney disease is more often than not caused by subclinical dehydration for captive reptiles. So it's really, really important that we're soaking them. And like Lorelei was saying, every other day would kind of be my least frequent, and ideally would be every day. And that's all lizards and all reptiles, turtles, tortoises, snakes. Obviously, red-eared flatters are an exception because they already live in water. But the animals that don't have, like, an active aquatic component to their environment should be soaked.
That's so interesting.
Wow.
I'm sorry, I cut you off at the end. What did you say at the end?
But in addition to always having water in their cage too. So.
Oh, right, drinking water for sure. Water, no, that's I did not know that about lizards actually. And then how often should bearded dragons pass a bowel movement? Is there a point where the owner would worry if they haven't passed one?
So they should be pooping as frequently as they're eating. So if they're young and they're eating every day, they should poop every day. If they're older and they eat every other day, then pooping every other day would be okay. But any animal, any lizard for sure, and any turtle or tortoise not pooping within a week is a concern. Obviously,
a week.
Snakes, sometimes they'll poop every week or every 2 weeks or sometimes even once a month, so that makes sense. That's okay. But for the lizards and the shelled turtles and tortoises, they need to be evaluated if they have not pooped within a week.
Mm. All right, so that's important to know. I hope that helps out Anne with her bearded dragon. She mm-hmm. is a new bearded dragon owner.
Yeah, within a couple of months, she got a bearded dragon. His name's Ember. He's very cute. He's bright orange. He definitely looks like an ember. He's so adorable. Oh, yeah.
Well, she should bring them on in.
I know. I'll let her know for sure.
Oh,
absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
And we have one more here from, this is from Pam in Plymouth. Should I use flea and tick preventative on my ferret that's always indoors? Why would I need to use that?
So thanks for the question. That's great. And I think sometimes people, even with cats, ask this too if they don't go outside. And the answer is we use these preventions in these animals because, a lot of external parasites get in through doors, windows, other pets, mosquitoes can fly. And those are the animals that can actually transmit really dangerous diseases like heartworm or intestinal parasites and things that can make them really, really sick.
Mm.
So we do for our indoor mammals. Even if they don't go outside, that they should get flea, tick, heartworm prevention, especially if you have these dogs that do go outside. A lot of times people have dogs and ferrets and rabbits, and the dogs could bring things in, and people don't really think about that for their indoor pets. So it's really, really important of the preventative health.
Yeah, ticks, people were saying ticks are already a big issue.
Yep,
ticks are a really big issue here. We're seeing a lot of tick-borne diseases already. Remember that the way some of these medications work is that the tick has to bite the skin of the treated animal before they actually fall off and die. So it's very easy to have a dog go outside and literally be carrying a tick in, and then that falls onto the ferret or the rabbit that isn't treated.
Wow.
And it just goes back to heartworm. Like, we know that with cats and dogs, they can get heartworm. That's a common, thing that we're aware of. Cats can die from 1 to 2 adult worms, and the same is true for ferrets. So heartworm is a really severe illness if they acquire it, and it's a lot harder to treat them. They're a lot smaller, so their risk is far greater of passing away from this really preventable disease. So it's just more reinforcement of what Lorelei was saying about the importance of flea and tick preventative.
Yeah, I'm hearing this tick season is extraordinarily high, or it's heightened this year, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's bad for everybody and us.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, I went to summer camp, and we always did, when we came back from the woods, we would do tick checks on each other. Is there a good way to do a tick check on your dog or your pet that's coming out of the forest, I guess?
I think you're asking about ferret?
No, like just checking for...
You guys said, because the dogs can sometimes, unfortunately, bring stuff in from the outside forest. Can you like brush your dog down in case there's like a... Is there an animal version of a tick check like we did on children when we were little?
Yeah, absolutely. People calm their dogs after coming in.
Yeah.
I think just inherently by patting them, a lot of people, like I know clients are coming in here all the time and they're just... In patting their dogs, they're finding ticks that are engorged. So, but you can get flea and tick combs, mm-hmm. and just pay attention, especially to like the undersides of these animals
and the legs,
the ears.
Right. Yeah, they love the hot spots.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And one thing.
Yeah,
we should the different kinds of heartworm and flea and tick prevention that's safe for these animals. Specifically when talking about rabbits, because they too can get these diseases, but they have some very strong sensitivities to some of the over-the-counter flea and tick preventatives. So, for instance, Fipronil, which is the active ingredient in some commercially available frontline, and I forget what the other
ones.
Yeah, but fipronil is the active ingredient that is really toxic to rabbits. So
will kill them within 24 to 48 hours.
Yeah. So please don't use that in your bunnies.
Yeah.
We need to get them some safe options. The one that we like most is Selamectin, which is Revolution, which is safe for rabbits and is a great prevention for them.
Mm-hmm. All right. Oh, that's great advice.
Good stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, we appreciate so much our good friends at Cape Cod Veterinary Specialist, Cape Cod Vets. CapeCodVetSpecialist.com is the website, and you can go to, again, right on their section and go to the exotic pets section, and you'll find out, it says Zoo Exotics Medicine right on their website, and you'll find out more about Dr. Kira Berg and Lorelei DeVolio, and you'll see past segments up there as well if you want to listen. So thank you so much for being with us. Oh, we got one more text in from Tracy, who just wanted to comment about, looks like it was a comment, I think, about my bearded dragon. My bearded dragon always loves his bath. And he usually took an epic,
He went number two.
So be ready to clean up after. My beardy was Mongo Jerry. He loved to look at himself in the mirror.
They do love the mirror. They know they're good looking. I love it.
That is hilarious. Yeah, I mean, like, we love to talk about poop, and, like, for sure, it is one of the things that they love to do in the bath, which is actually super easy and easier to clean up than when they go in their enclosure, so it's an added bonus that they tend to go in the bath.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Oh, good for them. All right. Well, Dr. Kira Berg and Lorelei DeVolio, thank you so much for being with us. CapeCodVetSpecialist.com.
Bye, guys.
And that is our Paws and Claws segment on WATD.